As the miles rolled on beneath his feet, he was surprised to find that those he pursued had not stopped with the setting sun, but had continued on long into the night. Finally, he spotted their campfire on a distant hill to the south. The ground was more broken now, for he had entered the foothills of the Belton Buckle. Exhausted and hungry, Branson still did not stop until he had drawn very near, almost to the base of the round hillock.
No, please! Please leave me be!
You belong to me now, wench! I'll take you as I want!
Me husband!
Dead and pecked by the crows!
Branson crept up the side of the hill as fast as he dared, trying to remain silent and unnoticed. For there were others up there, he realized, and the top of the hill was bare of trees or any other cover he could discern. Flat on his belly, he crawled along. He peered over the hill and spotted them off to the side behind the two burning campfires where they lay behind a log, the man atop the woman, having finished his deed. But Branson could hardly look that way, more surprised to see other women and children all about the place. Some curled on the ground and sleeping, others milling about, their eyes vacant, their faces and hair filthy with soot and mud. Branson found it hard to breathe. Across the way, the rapist stood and brushed himself off, then kicked the prone woman and spat upon her.
Oh, here now, don't do that. My turn with her.
The man headed over toward the log, opening his belt as he went, and no one seemed to pay him any heed at all.
And if you try to run again, we'll do worse, don't you doubt?
He kicked her again for good measure and moved back to the main camp. Branson couldn't comprehend the scene before him. He tried hard to keep his wits about him, to take a measure of the opposing force. He noted only three men, the ones he had seen from the keep wall. Then he spotted a fourth coming up over the back crest of the hillock with an armload of wood.
This is not your fight. You can't save the world, fool. It's all beyond you. There is no point.
He almost convinced himself to walk away. So despondent was Branson that he nearly surrendered there and then to the darkness. Before he had even finished that internal battle, fate mercifully intervened, for a girl spotted him and pointed. He noted the man behind the log scramble up from the beaten woman, hiking his pants as he went. He noted the previous attacker reaching down to grab a short bronze sword as the man with the armload of wood dropped it all except for two sturdy little clubs, one of which he tossed to the fourth man. Branson walked in. They obviously didn't recognize him as the highwayman. He wasn't wearing his distinctive one-sleeved shirt or telltale mask.
Leave her alone.
What clan are ye? Your foolishness is in ye to think you can walk into Clan Huard. Get ye gone!
Clan? I see four ruffians and a score of helpless prisoners.
Some of his bluster was lost as he spoke the words, though, as the young girl who had spotted him ran over to the man with the sword and hid behind him.
What is this? Was that your village?
He tells you to leave.
No, but he ain't going nowhere. He'll just come back for us with his friends.
The man with the sword moved toward Branson's left flank. Of more concern, though, was the man who had just started with a woman. He reached down and produced a bow and arrow.
Look to the trees, fathers!
All the women, save the one on the ground, and all the children rushed to different points along the hilltop and peered down into the darkness.
Now you tell us who you are.
I am Branson Garibond of Pridetown, son of Bran Dinard, of the Order of Abel and of Senwi, who is Jester too. None of that means anything to you, I am sure, except that you know of Pridetown.
You fight for King Yezelnik!
I fight for no one.
I'm not thinking that's true.
The sword wielder gave a slight nod at the archer, a movement Branson caught clearly so that he was not surprised when the archer let fly an arrow. He snapped his left forearm straight up and ducked, deflecting the arrow high where it flew away into the darkness. All at once, the other three charged. The swordsman was closest, blade leading. As soon as Branson turned toward him, he cowardly skidded to a stop and fell back a step. Branson turned back to meet the two others, who were swinging their clubs with abandon. Both men went down in a matter of seconds and Branson retrieved a club. Branson turned fast to meet the charge of the swordsman. He heard the bow fire behind him and instinctively dove diagonally down and to the right. Branson went right through a roll and back to his feet, barely two strides from his enemy. Instead of lifting the club to block, he tossed it up into the air. The swordsman's eyes reflexively followed the ascent, and he looked back just in time to see Branson lunging forward. Branson went down low, almost to all fours, cleverly scooping a stone. He came up straight again and looked at his foe's leveled bow.
You have only one shot, of course.
Branson smiled and began to walk steadily at the bowman.
Perhaps you will kill me, though I think that unlikely.
Branson hopped left, hopped right, and threw the rock. The bowman let fly, but he was ducking as he did. Then the archer was fleeing. Branson turned to face his previous attackers. The swordsman swayed as he stood there, his face bloody, his eyes already swelling from a brutal punch. The club wielders were still down.
Is this a dance you truly desire?
Who are you?
I already told you.
Why are you here?
Curiosity and disgust.
Disgust? Have you seen our homes? Have you seen me kids, men? 8 of them trampled death under the spinning wheels of a chariot.
I will go my way. And if you try to stop me again, or if I see you mistreating your own again like the dogs of war, I will kill you.
With that, Branson turned and went off into the woods.